presidents to represent me. I'm out for presidents to represent me. I'm out for presidents to represent me. I'm out for every other presidents to represent me. Yo, what up? It's the Why Nuts Podcast. Your boy Dane.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy Haywood.
What's up, y'all? It's Jeremy.
We are back, man. We had a mistake last week. This is episode 60. Last week was episode 59, but we back at it, man. How everybody feeling? How everybody doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. Just trying to stay warm.
It's cold as hell, man. It's cold as hell right now.
See, everybody wrapped up tight. You know, I got my hoodie on, man. I thought about going outside, then I stepped out there. I was like, nah, it ain't gonna work today.
Crazy right now, man. I took my little baby over to a little friend's house in the apartment. I walked her over there because it was too icy to even drive across the apartment. And so that was like the longest walk ever. But yeah, it's cold as hell, man. I don't see how people live like this, bro. How people live in Michigan, live in Wisconsin, and where you got to put chain on the tires, bro. Like, nah, I'm good, bro. And this is why I tell people I think New York is overrated.
Yeah. Yeah, I tell y'all that time I went to Chicago.
Chicago was dope. I ain't gonna lie, to visit, I like Chicago more than New York.
It's dope, but it's cold.
Yeah.
Man, I got that plane. Like, I stepped out in the freezer, boy. I was like, yeah, and I had one of those Texas pea coats. looking at me like, oh, yeah, boy, you about to freeze. You went straight through that coat, man. That was ridiculous. I'll never move up north. It's ridiculous.
Never.
We ain't got the snow yet, though. It's only, like, up there in the Dallas area.
I think Dallas still came through.
Yeah, Dallas got a couple inches.
And that bad wreck that they had recently too. There, man. But nah, man, let me pass it on. Jeremy, you got the tip of the week. You ready, bro?
As ready as I'm gonna be. You know what I'm saying? Nah, but what we were just talking about, you know, the weather is it's crazy out there. We got a winter advisory alert. So here's a couple of tips to kind of maneuver and prepare for this cold weather. So I know people have jobs and they got to get on the road, but you know, if you can stay off the road, you know, try to do that as possible. If you are going to get on the road, just make sure, you know, you slow down, you accelerate and, you know, apply the brakes slowly. You know, there's no need to be passing other vehicles, you know, it's just not the time. And you know, don't panic. If you start to skid, don't panic. Just make sure that you turn the steering wheel towards the way that you're skidding. And, you know, some preparation or preventative measures that you could take, like for the house, is like disconnect, you know, all the hoses and insulate your outside faucets. You can put foam faucet covers on them, which are inexpensive and easy to install. You know, check the areas of the home where, you know, the pipes are prone to freeze, you know, such as like bathrooms that, you know, have like an outside wall, attics, garages. And use like foam pipe insulation or insulation tape to cover, you know, those exposed pipes. And then make sure that with your faucets, you have a trickle of water running in those to prevent them from freezing. And, you know, if you got pets, make sure you move your pets inside. But, you know, here's a couple of tips to kind of maneuver, you know, during these cold times, because, you know, we're not used to it in Texas. And people be driving crazy in Texas and they really don't know how to prepare. So here's a couple of tips.
Yeah, if it's not a necessity, man, you got to stay in the house. This is ridiculous. You
know, yeah, exactly.
You saw that 100 car pileup in Dallas, man, you know, praying for all the lives there. I think there was 5 lives that were lost in that, man, in the Fort Worth area. And the crazy thing about it, I was actually going to go to Fort Worth this Thursday. I'm glad I didn't and changed my schedule on something. So, you know, definitely be safe.
Man, that was so terrible, man.
It's sad, but it's so sad that the amount of people that lost their lives, but it's kind of a blessing because it could have been worse. It really could have been a whole lot worse. So
I just think about y'all and dang, you know, the babies being in that backseat, and I think about that truck coming up on that backseat like that, bro.
Well,
you know what I'm saying, like,
yeah, it gives you anxiety just thinking about it. You're like,
God. Literally, when we was at the J, my admin showed me that, and I was kind of mad because I was about to get in the car, and I was like, Susan, why you showing me this? You know, and then wind up being posted on Instagram all over to where I had to see it. But initially, I was like, man, don't show me that. I don't want to see that.
Right. Straight up, man.
Like, yeah, seeing something like that is kind of triggering because.
I've been there.
I've been there.
I have not.
Yeah.
So I can.
No, it's bad. So watching stuff like that is kind of triggering. So.
Yeah. Especially, yep. I had the same thing. Especially, I had that accident last year. That's the first thing I thought about. I was just like, man, thank you, God. I mean, you know, we made it through. You know what I'm saying? But it was just. It's one of those things, man. You got to be careful like that. That's a good tip, man. We've been keeping the cabinets open and stuff over here too at the same time, trying to stay warm, you know. It's what it is, man.
Good news, everyone. Let's get Roy into the news.
Trending topics.
Well, man, let's keep it moving, man. We're going to get into these trending topics. So first question that I got is, Tom Brady, the greatest athlete to ever live? What you think?
Hell no. He's the best quarterback.
That's been the rhetoric that's been out there lately, man. I've been hearing a lot of people talking about, you know, since he's got his seventh ring, you know, he's the greatest athlete of all time. And I'm like, nah, I'm not going to go that far. I say he's the greatest, you know, to touch the football field as far as NFL is concerned. Just because, you know, he's got the longevity, he's been there 20 plus years. So,
can we point out one thing though? Can we look at the help that he's gotten in the past? Now, not necessarily on the offensive side when he was with the Patriots, but look at every time that he made a playoff push to the Super Bowl. What type of defense did he had? He had a top 10 defense every. I think it was every time, or maybe it was once where he didn't. So, I mean, there's a lot of different factors. And then this year for the Bucs, I mean, as a whole, the team was good. The team as a whole was better than the Chiefs. So, I mean, he was around great players. And like I told y'all last time, y'all made it sound like I was crazy. I think there's a dynasty in the making. Y'all was saying, y'all acting like I was crazy. Just wait and see.
We both said I won't be surprised if they win. I know we.
Yeah, I think everybody said that.
Yeah, I mean, once he beat Rodgers, I was like, okay, he can beat anybody, technically. And I don't know if we spoke about this, so I can't remember exactly. He make them boys believe, bro. I don't know how you quantify that shit. He make you believe you can win. He make people just, like, show up and how things, like, just fall apart for the other team. And how they play so inspired. And you in football, you only got to win one game, bro.
That's right.
One game, professional, man against man. And then you have good play calling. Their play calling was good. Defense was like, bro, Patrick Mahomes didn't score a touchdown, bro. Who would have said that?
No. That's a crazy thing. And, you know, I already came with, like, the excuses. You know, the biggest thing they were talking about, the refs, you know, gave the game to Brady. But at the same time, I'm like, you can't say that because – Patrick Mahomes got shut down. You know, you don't have any touchdowns. You don't deserve to win that game. That's just what
I don't understand. I don't understand why the Chiefs didn't start running the ball. It was clear that they were in cover two the whole entire time.
Desperation. I mean, once you get behind, you know what I'm saying? You gotta.
Yeah, but you gotta start running the ball. That's the only way that you're gonna beat a cover two, though. And they didn't initiate the run like they should have. And
what's also crazy, Jeremy, is like Andy Reid has always been a great screen play caller.
Right.
And with that pass rush, they should have been able to kill him with that because as soon as he got the ball, he was getting attacked. So I'm very surprised they didn't come with the draws, didn't come with the screens, didn't come with the jet sweeps to kind of nullify that. And then, you know, when that first drive happened, they ran the ball good. And I thought they would have stuck to it. Really, you need to keep Tom Brady off the field.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I feel like, I don't want to say he was out-coached, but they got in their own way. Because if you down 14 with Patrick Mahomes, you in that thing. But you was down like what, 20, 23, 24, 25.
So yeah. And go ahead, Haywood. I'm sorry, my bad.
I was just gonna say I think he's the greatest football player. I don't think he's the best athlete, though. He's not even an athlete. But as far as player, I have no problem with nobody saying he's the best player.
What do y'all think about the comparison? You know, I saw somebody put up Williams as being the best athlete of all time.
Who, Serena?
Yeah.
She's in the discussion.
Yeah. I think now, I mean, it's hard for me to even say anymore as far as, like, who can be considered, like, the greatest athlete, quote-unquote, GOAT, because it's so subjective. You know what I'm saying? There's so many extenuating circumstances. You can argue one way or the other. And 9 out of 10, you're probably going to be right with who you're defending, stuff like that. But it's hard to measure these days.
Yeah, as long as you don't say LeBron.
Dude's coming.
I'm going to go ahead and say, like, anybody who has individual sports can never be it doesn't compare to a basketball team or a football team. A basketball team, I feel like it's easier to be, say, greatest because you play both sides of the field and you never come out the court. Football, like Jeremy said, like you always got Brady, always come through. And that's good. I mean, that's not a knock, you know what I mean? But, you know, Aaron Rodgers D gave up 30 again. You know, I mean, they also got him 3 turnovers in the second half, too.
My man, yeah. Oops, he said in the comments, he said, like, as far as Tom Brady is concerned, there's always controversy surrounding his Super Bowl wins, too, at the same time. So do you take that into consideration? You know what I'm Deflate yeah, gate, you got, so many, you got the spy gate, you got the refs, you know what I'm saying?
You got so many, bro.
You got the tuck rule. It went yeah.
I feel like he would have been in the GOAT conversation with 4. So, I mean, if you know, you can steal another 5-3, and he's still the dude with the most is Joe Montana or Terry Bradshaw. So, I mean, he's still in the GOAT conversation with 4. So, what you gonna do? You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't disqualify 7 of the motherfuckers, bro. Even though Russell Wilson, they should have ran the ball. Even though Atlanta, there's no way that Atlanta should have lost that game, bro. Like, just so many. Stupid things happen to the other team, but I gotta give them credit, bro. No hate. I'm no hate.
Yeah, at the end of the day, that's where I'm at with it. I'm not gonna hate on him, man. You can't deny that he's like at least, you know, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, to ever, you know, touch the field. So that's what it is, man. Let's keep it moving, fellas. What about the Gorilla Glue Girl, man? I know y'all heard about that. That's been all over the internet, man. My wife brought it to my attention. Is ignorance getting rewarded like at a massive level these days, man? It's just crazy.
Explain it to me. I'm going to get this water real quick. Explain it to me, because I haven't seen it. I saw like the like article titles, and I know she had like surgery. Why?
All right, so I'm gonna explain the way my wife explained it to me. So this young lady, she I guess watched a YouTube tutorial or maybe an Instagram tutorial, and they were talking about this product called Gorilla Snot that's supposed to be used to I guess lay your hair down and you know whatever it's supposed to do for your hair. I don't know. I'm a man. I can't speak on it, but she. Went to the store and actually bought Gorilla Glue adhesive and sprayed it on her hair to lay her hair down.
Oh, and so she got the wrong product.
Yeah, she got the wrong product.
Okay, I know. Okay,
so she sprayed it in her hair and laid it down. It worked. Leslie was it worked like a mother because Leslie was laid down. But she couldn't get it out of hand.
Crazy. Gorilla Snot? Why would they name it that?
I don't even know. I'm just trying to figure out how do you get that confused because it's not, Gorilla Glue is not sold in a hair care aisle. It's not sold in a hair care product store. You know what I'm saying? How would you get that confused? You know what I'm saying?
I didn't know there was a Gorilla Glue spray. I never knew there was a spray. Yeah. Y'all know there was a spray?
That's what I heard. I heard it was a spray. So allegedly it was a spray.
Because no. She showed the spray on the video. So I was like,
it's crazy, man. But the craziest thing about it is now she wants to sue Gorilla Glue. And I'm like, what do they have to do with you being ignorant and buying the wrong product to put in your head?
No, hell no, you can't sue.
Exactly. That's what I was getting. I was like, you can't sue him. But then she, I guess she's got a GoFundMe too as well. And she was able to raise $13,000, like just off of that story. And then she actually got it removed from her head for free, because a doctor out of California, you know, offered to take it out of her head for free.
How do you take that out your head? Don't you have to like cut all your hair off or something?
Guess he had some type of, he's a plastic surgeon up there, and he had like a way that he can remove, I guess, the chemicals or strip the chemicals without damaging her hair or her head. So,
man, that's crazy.
I'm glad she got it worked out, man, because a woman's beauty is it's not always tied to your hair, but I feel like it's an integral part. You know, women feel like it's intricately linked, you know, and that's unfortunate. So I'm glad it seems to be have worked out. Having somebody fix it for free is huge. And you came up on the $13,000 bag. That may have been a win for you. You may get some endorsements from this shit. You may actually have took a L, but wind up taking a major win.
Yeah. I'm damn sure going to use Gorilla Glue for whatever I need. Whatever need to get stuck, I'm going to get it. That shit definitely works. And then another man, I forgot about this. Another man, he thought it was a fake story, so he put Gorilla Glue on a Solo cup and taped it on his mouth. Ended up having to go to the hospital. He might lose his upper lip, a part of his upper lip behind it, man. People, I'm telling you, ignorance is getting rewarded at a crazy rate. I wouldn't be surprised if we see something else crazy here coming up soon, man.
But don't people make money off those views, off of social media and stuff like that?
Yeah, it depends on how many views you get and if they put ads on it and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I think they're starting to monetize stuff like that, but I think you got to have an account set up. It's a whole bunch of different things you have to do.
Yep. Going, but
I just thought that was crazy, man. I definitely had to bring it up here because I know y'all seen it.
Crazy, man.
All right, man. So what do y'all think about? I'm gonna keep it moving, man. It looks like you can opt out of the Black History Month program in the state of Utah, man. That's something that caught me by surprise, man. I don't know if y'all saw that. What y'all think about that?
Hey, that's in the public school system or?
Yeah, public school.
In Utah?
But I wonder how extensive their Black History Month, you know, program is, really.
In my experience with Black History stuff, man, it's always been surface level in school. It's never been anything in depth. You know, the most that we gain is just doing the research on our own. So, you know, what are you, you know, supplementing that with, you know, in school and stuff like that? It's, I don't know. It's just crazy, man, that we're in a time right now where that's even an option. You know, you got the shortest, month of the year anyway with Black History Month as it is. And on top of that, you know, it's, you know, virtue signaling to a specific base to just take it out of school altogether. Like, what's the purpose of you not teaching Black history within school?
All right, man. So what do y'all think about, I'm gonna keep it moving, man. It looks like you can.
Oh, you got me.
Like, why the hell are you talking about? Oh, I'm not in school. I'm trying to share it, my bad.
Got it on delay.
Right, I'm trying to share it on Facebook. My bad, y'all. Sorry.
Nah, you good.
So can we opt out of U.S. history? That's cool.
These are the questions that really need to be answered, Jerry, for real.
Yeah, so, exactly.
We got to understand, people got to understand the fact that we are ahistorical in America allows us to be fed bullshit and allows us to be susceptible to what went on in 2026 through 2000 with this man and beyond. Not only is history taught subjectively, but it also taught in periods as opposed to it's episodic as opposed to how it's linked and how causal agents relate to the other thing. And so that one of the big things that Black people feel is that we aren't listened to and people don't understand our plight. So when we try to get legislation to fix our plight, white people like, what you need it for? See what I'm saying? Like, if you was educated, since you can't live it, if you was educated on our life and the things we went through, maybe it wouldn't be so hard for us to get some reparations, or it wouldn't be so hard to, because if you know how we was barred out of redlining and how we couldn't get no FHA loans and how we couldn't get no Hazelwood Act and how convict leasing took us and went from sharecropping to that. You know what I mean? Like, if you know these things, then when we sit at the table and we say we want to get something done, you can at least understand why. So it's a huge thing, man. And we have to continue to fight to get the truth. I need to watch 1619 again. I need to listen to it again. I want them to make a documentary on that shit. Hope they coming out with more episodes. It's not even the 1619 that they talking about, right? They just talking about like some Rosa Parks type shit.
Yeah, just all together, all encompassing. But I don't know what you're saying. It like you said, hey, well, it allows you to be ignorant about the past, so you don't rectify the things in the future.
That's
crazy, man.
To turn your eye to our reality when we've been here, and there's David Imhotep's word says we was here before the Native Americans, and got people thinking we came on a barren strait down Siberia when there's currents that go from Africa to the Caribbean. You could put a little paddle boat and let it go, and it's going to naturally go there. These are things people don't know. You know what I mean? And if you knew that, that would totally, I don't know if it would totally change white people's mind about certain things, but it would change black people. Like, whoa, snap, we was here before that. Ivan Van Sertima's work, where he has linguistic, agricultural evidence, all kind of sets of evidence to show certain things. These are things that people need to know because it edifies us, and it lets white, it kind of chips down at the white superiority complex.
Right. And Jeremy, you had mentioned a program. I haven't got a chance to watch it yet, but I want you to expound on that a little bit, man, as far as the documentary that you saw on Amazon Prime.
Oh, yeah. The Elaine Massacre that took place in 1919 in Elaine, Arkansas, which was Phillips County. So basically what they had is they had a whole lot of sharecroppers. They were getting screwed over how sharecroppers typically did back in the day. And I didn't realize that sharecroppers actually, they're supposed to share part of the crops. And basically how they got screwed over is what they would do is they would inflate the expenses, and they go to the black people and be like, okay, well, all of the tools and all this other stuff that you needed was this amount. We're going to take this out of your money that you're supposed to get. And, you know, we were illiterate back in the day, so, you know, we didn't know how to read, write. They make us sign certain contracts, so we get screwed over. But long story short,
as long as you're getting fed, you're okay with it.
Yeah. So the sharecroppers, they had a union in Phillips County, and I think white people were worried about, you know, how black people were unionized and they're starting to speak up for themselves. And then there was a killing of, the white people were messing with black people and starting to kill them, and black people started pushing back. And then a whole lot of, it was just a massacre where 211 black people were killed and only five white people were killed. And they had 12 people that they arrested and they convicted. All 12 of them basically got off eventually, but they were convicted to death. Then they had a lawyer come in, a black lawyer. I can't remember his name, but long story short, they were all able to get off, I think 6 years later, luckily. But it was just a crazy, crazy story. And it was a good documentary.
What was the name of it again, just for the people so they can check it out?
The Elaine Massacre.
Elaine Massacre. That's on Amazon Prime, so definitely encourage people to check that out, man. Just to give you a little bit more history, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I definitely check that out. And sharecropping, even understanding that period is integral to understanding the Great Migration, understanding how slavery was continued after, because You know, if somebody's just drowning in the lake and then you just be like, all right, cool, I'm not going to put you in the lake no more. And you just walk off and I still need help.
Right.
Yeah, you still put me in this situation. You still got to help me get out of this situation. So I feel like that's an integral part of history, man. I definitely got to check that out, Jeremy. Appreciate that.
Definitely. Appreciate that, man. All right, our last trending topic, man, we're going to talk about, you know, the Asian American community getting attacked, you know, primarily in the California area and the region, and kind of getting your thoughts about that. I know a lot of it, from what my wife was telling me, is geared around, the Asian American community being blamed for coronavirus being here. And of course, we all know that's, you know, as ignorant as can be, but definitely want to, you know, talk about, expound on what you guys thought about that and if you saw any headlines on that.
You know, I kind of was a little not taken back, but I was a little disappointed in myself, shocked, just that I saw somebody post something on my social media, and it was about this Asian comedian. He was going in on how the media wasn't covering it. I didn't know, you know what I'm saying? I didn't know. And he showed pictures of there's one that happened not too long ago, bro, like elderly Asian people getting attacked, bro. And these are like docile, nice, ain't hurting nobody people who are getting attacked. And I didn't know nothing about it. So I told y'all, you know, I want to talk about it because I want to be fair, you know, and oppression is oppression anywhere.
Right.
And I think it's important to understand, this is why you understand racism as a power relationship, because it will go after anybody in order to maintain its power. And so in this case, the Asians weren't safe with the concentration camps, you know what I'm saying, around Pearl Harbor. And then this time, a big byproduct of capitalism, racism, is labeling groups of people certain things so that they can justify mistreatment. Labeling right. Immigrants taking our jobs and labeling coronavirus as the China virus all is under the same umbrella of white perceived supremacy in some form or fashion, I feel like.
Right. No, and like you said, you know, a threat to justice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And I think it's something that I want to touch on a little bit on our main topic when we talk about Fred Hampton and establishing his Rainbow Coalition. I think it's important, you know, when we see something that's, you know, not in line with what we will believe, you know, spiritually or mentally or emotionally, we need to speak out on it. And it's important to you know, speak for, you know, our brothers and sisters out there, despite what color they may be, even if they're white, if they're oppressed, you know, they're dealing with the same struggles that we're dealing with. And we got to be able to step up to the plate and be able to say, hey, no, that's wrong. Because, you know, from what my wife was telling me, a lot of our people were the ones that were actually attacking the Asian American community. And now I was having a hard time trying to figure out the reason why. Like, why are we, you know, putting ourselves in the position to attack someone and we're already oppressed, you know?
It was Black people?
Yeah, from what she was telling me, from what Tracy was telling me about it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's an unfortunate situation. Am I surprised? No, because of the rhetoric, you know, from the president, from Trump, when the whole coronavirus was going on, calling it the China virus. I knew it was just a matter of time, unfortunately, before, right. You know, that those group of people start getting targeted. It's just sad, man. Like what you were talking about. I mean, oppression, it's just sad, man.
Man, if any of us doing that shit, we got to check ourselves, Black people. You know, we can't be doing that. We can't be like that. But this is why it was so frustrating seeing these things have consequences when we label people certain things. So here we see how something from the top with the president can trickle down to behavior, you know?
Right. Exactly. And you don't know, that stuff enters your subconscious. You don't even know that you know, you're acting off of somebody else's agenda, you know, just by what they say, stuff like that. You've applied that dog whistle to your life and then you're acting upon that dog whistle that they sent out. It wasn't even meant for you at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know, man. It's just,
we got to be able to, man, like, why? I don't know why we like this, bro. This country, man, is crazy, man. why we have to be doing this stuff. We're going to get more into this type of hate. And I'd be like, why are we so angry at other people? Why are we like this? When I say we, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, nah, I know exactly what you mean, man. I know exactly what you mean.
I just don't understand why they are so angry, though. That's what I don't understand. You would think that the oppressed people would be the ones that are angry or more angry.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like we're falling further and further apart. And a lot of times that's the intent. You know, when you're distracted by another group of people, and you're distracted by, you know, your own oppression, and you feel like you're more oppressed than the other person, then you're not really pointing the arrow and the guns at the people that's really doing the oppression and that's really keeping their foot on your neck. You know, that's something that we really gotta take a seat back and understand that, hey, you know, why are they in that position? Why are they in the position for them to get attacked? Why are you truly doing it? You know what I'm saying? Do you feel inferior to this class or this group of people? Or do you understand their plight? Do you understand their struggle? Like, where can we find the commonality? Where can we find the similarity in, you know, how we're struggling, and then come together as a group and essentially form like the Avengers to get work done on our behalf? That's the biggest thing. You know, that's what I would like to see, you know, and I don't know, just speaking out loud of it.
Thanks. First, right, I don't understand the psyche, bro. I don't think we ever will.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's going to tie us right into our main topic, man. I'm excited to talk about it. This is kind of like we threw an audible because we had another topic that we wanted to talk about as our main topic. But, you know, I feel like as a group, we all felt like we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about Judas and the Black Messiah that just came out on HBO Max and, of course, in the theaters, too, as well. We all had an opportunity to watch it, man, and I'll be the first to say I knew of Fred Hampton. I never studied Fred Hampton, but the story, you know, that was told in this film, you know, was eye-opening. It was inspiring. There was a lot of, you know, things that, you know, me personally, I took away from this film, man. And I wanted, we need to bring it to the group and just talk about it. Talk about how you felt, what stuck out to you, you know what I'm saying? What is a call to action moving forward about this film, man, and just kind of, you know, play off of each other, see what we think.
Jeremy, you saw it today, right?
Yeah.
What you think?
Kind of like Dane, I didn't know much about Fred Hampton prior to this. I was even surprised whenever the movie concluded, when they talked about his age. I didn't realize that he was that young. He was doing all that at that age, which is amazing. I thought it was a great movie. I thought it was powerful how he wanted to unite everybody, all the Black people in Chicago for a great cause. It was very eye-opening.
If I can interject, if you don't mind, if I can interject, I think one of the things, because I don't want it to be lost from my mind, one of the things that stuck out to me the most, man, is that he was so willing to, quote unquote, step into enemy territory with the thought and the passion to come in and say, hey, we have a common enemy. We have a common goal that we want to reach as a people. And we need to understand that we are oppressed as a whole. We all have the same issues. We need to come together and form a rainbow coalition, you know what I'm saying? Meeting with the crowns, going into that enemy territory without guns, coming in with peace on his mind, and also meeting with, you know, the, I can't remember the white group's name and the Hispanics group's name in there, but forming that coalition with them and talking about, you know, how they are oppressed as a people and we're fighting the same enemy, and how they're able to, despite their differences, come together. He was dangerous. He was dangerous to the system. He was dangerous to status quo. And him being able to do that at 21, I know I was nowhere near thinking the way that he was thinking, you know, at that age. You know, that conscious side of me probably didn't come up until maybe in my 30s, when I first turned 30. So it's amazing to see somebody at that age, you know, be so in tune with the people and understanding the plight. And it's probably because of the circumstance he grew up in, too, at the same time. But, you know, also having the mindset of having peace. He, for the most part, he was nonviolent. You know what I mean? It was, you know, we're going to protect ourselves, you know, when the fight comes to us, but we're not going to run after the fight, you know?
And him even willing to die for his people, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's huge.
I love the movie. I thought it was great. Well done. I would like to spend some time before I get into like some specifics of the movies, like of understanding how, you know, this is a true story, y'all. So this is not, I knew about Fred Hampton because I'm just very familiar and about COINTELPRO and the, you know, Mark Clark and Bobby Seale and the original Panthers, because they are some of my heroes, because they literally, like Asada Shakur, all these people are like literally people who gave their life for us. In the most scariest situations, he knew he was gonna die. Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, all knew they was gonna die and still continue to fight for us. So what people need to understand is that this is why we say we have distrust with the police. It's not just shit that, you know, just fell out of the sky. This man was assassinated. There was a program called counterintelligence program, COINTELPRO. COINTELPRO started in the 50s under the auspices of J. Edgar Hoover. Literally, his goal was to prevent the Black Messiah. That's what it says. And that's why that those words are in the title of the movie. So it brings attention to that. COINTELPRO would use terroristic things like penetration, you know, calling your phone 8 times a day. You know what I mean? You're listening to Malcolm X say how they would call your phone and threaten you and just try to scare you, you know, just things like that. Death threats, you know, you saw how they dropped the note, the fake note in there, just all type of things trying to seed, sow and deceit, sow dissent within the organization. These are real things from the government of the United States, when ultimately the goal of Malcolm Martin, Black Panther Party, was that to rise and not let this white man be on our necks like that. So we have to understand this is part of our history. We have to understand that so that we can decide how to move forward.
Definitely, man. Definitely. It's, I don't know, man. It's just amazing. It was just amazing to see, you know, like the imagery behind it, the passion behind it. One of the things that stuck out to me the most with the film is I felt like the girlfriend, or it wasn't his wife, his girlfriend was the one that was really, quote unquote, telling the story, if that makes sense, because she was the one that was concerned, you know, about his life and him stepping up to be a revolutionary and the consequences behind that. You know, you understand that, you know, hey, the sacrifice that you're making is not just for you, but it's for me. It's for your son that's growing inside of me and, you know, his future and his well-being and stuff like that too, as well. And then of course, you know, everything with William O'Neill, just seeing how, you know, after he did the interview and once that, you know, that documentary, The Eyes on the Prize 2 aired, he killed himself that night. You know what I'm saying? And the parallels between, you know, what he's done and then Judas Iscariot and what he did with Jesus, you know, he sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver and then ended up trying to give it back and hanging himself that same night, you know, that he betrayed Jesus. So just the parallels with the story. It's funny because I've been reading, you know, my Bible lately and I'm on that story, like as I'm watching the movie. So I feel like it's something, you know, divine is just telling me, hey, you need to watch this and understand and know. And I want to know more about Fred Hampton now. I want to know, you know, how he, you know, was able to, I wish they had spent more time, like how he really got everything organized and grew, you know, at a mass rate and just the steps involved with that.
I think it's important to highlight, you know, the Black Panther Party, y'all. The Black Panther Party was a byproduct of civil rights movement and no understanding what they were trying to do. They were so intelligent and they understood racism was a byproduct of capitalism. They understood that. And they understood that capitalism has to have a caste system And with the caste system, had to be somebody on top, somebody on the bottom. And so right. understanding that, that's what he was trying to get people to understand. It ain't about color. We're about rising up and trying to, because the power of the people is many against the very few who have power at the top. That's the only way you can beat them. That's what he was trying to do. And that's why he was okay with meeting up with the other groups.
How do you feel about that? How do y'all feel about, you know, now in this day and age, do you think that it's possible for us to actually meet with other groups? Like, for instance, the Proud Boys. Do you think that that's a possible thing to try to figure out exactly what they wanting as a group?
No, I think he picked the groups that could resonate with the plight of being oppressed. I don't think he just went to any type of group. He didn't go, you know, he was in the movie, he was in that group with the Confederate flag in the back. But, you know, other than that, I mean, I think he went to the Browns, you know, brown people who have shared the plight. I'm not going to waste my time talking to, you know, the Proud Boys and nothing like that, because they can't understand. And at the end of the day, we understand they lose by getting more equity. So why would they be in favor of what I'm talking about?
Well, the reason why I ask is because, like, I've heard, I don't know for certain, I haven't researched this, but Malcolm X had met with the KKK, you know what I'm saying, for protection. I'm trying to figure out and trying to reconcile in my mind the reason why. One, because we don't, quote unquote, have the same plight, but I do understand that, you know, he probably met with them to gain protection. And where did they find what was the commonality? What was the common ground that got them to get to that point? Because I think for the most part, I don't know anything about the Proud Boys mission. I don't know anything about all these other, you know, fringe organizations' missions, but I do feel like that everyone feels like they're oppressed to some degree. And trying to understand that and figure that out may be a silver lining somewhere in there. I'm not saying it's the appropriate thing to do. I'm just thinking out loud and trying to see what y'all think about it, you know?
What you think, Jeremy?
Do you think white people really think that they're oppressed?
Some are, like, for instance, the stimulus check. Some of them are waiting for the stimulus check just like our people are waiting for it. Some of them don't have jobs and they're losing their jobs at a massive rate. And it's because they're the majority within this country. So by proxy, they're gonna have some of those issues. The thing that's happening is that we're getting turned against each other when it comes to, you know, oppression and stuff like that. We're made to believe, like, for instance, they think that it's the Hispanics' fault because they're coming across the border and stealing all the jobs. That's not the reality of the situation. But the powers that be are so effective at their communication that they're able to make us point the guns at each other. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's a bigger conversation. I think that we're so far gone as a country, as a nation, that we can't find the common ground. We can't find the commonality, you know?
Yeah, I would never hold my breath to say white people will ever understand. Never.
Yeah, it's fair. That's fair.
I would never. I don't see, like, they just acquitted the president saying he didn't incite the riot, bro.
Exactly.
Like, what? He didn't? You sure?
Yeah.
Like he literally, they wouldn't even be in there if he didn't tell them to go.
But those people are the powers that be, though. Those are the people that write the laws. Those are the people that I'm talking about.
Like, none of this shit surprised me no more. It's just so sickening. It's so sickening. And only sickening because, not because of where we're at, but sickening because you say you're based on this, but you're really not. You're based on this.
Right.
Say you're based on morals, principle, meritocracy, work hard, and blah, blah, blah. That's not what you're about, America. That's not.
Right. So we gotta think about William O'Neill. You know what I'm saying? Of course you think he a piece of shit for, you know, turning on his people, but the circumstances that got him into that situation, you know what I'm saying? Quote unquote got used, you know, for, you know, a 5-year bid and then a year and a half. He got a year and a half for stealing a car, but 5 years for impersonating a police officer. And of course, at that point, you're trapped. You know what I'm saying? You stuck in the system, and you're going to be used, you know, by them. What do y'all think about him? Do you think it, you know, it's a fair representation of him?
Imagine that being your daddy, bro. You imagine, bro.
That's probably why he killed himself.
That shit's terrible, bro. I'd be so embarrassed. I would never tell no. That's crazy, bro. I feel like that's something. I wonder what the Black Panther Party had internally to scope out that type of stuff. I wonder how much attention they paid, because they may have known. I don't think they knew necessarily about COINTELPRO and how there's a whole government program here to infiltrate. I wonder how much they put into trying to weed out those type of people. Even though somebody can be already down for the cause and then they can be switched over with money. But William O'Neill is a coward. Let his name ring forever. You know what I'm saying? Like the Scarlet Letter, you know? Like, don't be no William O'Neill, you know? That shit crazy that he got several people killed and help disband a party that, honestly, Black people need to follow the formula. They understand with their 10-point program. They understand that food, clothing, shelter, and safety is the biggest thing. That's why their programs was free breakfast, health clinic, you know what I mean? Bringing basics to people. And then, you know, political education, 6 weeks of education to even join the party. Like, they have so many things we can learn. And don't let people tell you that Black Panther was the white KKK. I'm interested what white people think about this movie. And I've been trying to check on Facebook to see the comments to see, like, what do they think? But all I keep seeing is Black people commenting, like, great movie, great movie.
Yeah. Honestly, I bet you there's not a whole lot of Black people that are, white people that are actually watching the movie, unfortunately.
That wouldn't be surprising, bro, honestly. That would not be surprising.
And it's crazy because that's the opportunity. That's the opportunity to, you know, get behind the, you know, quote unquote, behind the enemy lines to see what we think. Because, you know, it's Black made, you know, that it's, you know, a film that's going to be told from our view and from our vision. So I would think, me personally, I would want to know exactly what they think and how they feel, and then try to open up the dialogue from there and see where that takes me. You know, I don't know if that's too much to ask, but, you know, it's, I don't know. It was a powerful film, man. It's something, you know, crazy. And then the person that Lil Rel played, was he an FBI agent? And he just.
He had to have been, right?
Who's Lil Rel? Oh, yeah. The dude at the end.
Yeah, they gave him the sedative.
Because he had his fake badge and everything. So he had to have been FBI.
Yeah, facts.
That's crazy, man. Yeah,
bro, like,
how can you infiltrate an organization like that, kind of be Fred Hampton's kind of right-hand man, and just, that's wild.
Well,
at any point, he could have died for the cause. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Even though
he gave him what he needed. The FBI agent asked him, he said, what does Fred Hampton need? And at that time, you know, Fred Hampton, he said he was being harassed so much trying to drive a vehicle that if you get me a car, you know what I'm saying, essentially keep the people off my back, I can be his quote unquote chauffeur and, you know, gain the respect and be, you know, right next to him. And that's how he got in there, you know.
Right.
They're not going to put you in a position where you have a lack of resources in there, especially if they're trying to get to the ultimate goal. Of getting it out, but it's not enough to, you know, put him behind bars or put him in jail. You know, they got to take him out. You know, this person is causing so much dissension, and he's mobilizing and bringing so many people together that he's a danger against us. You know what I'm saying? He's pulling the curtain back. He's showing all the secrets and showing what's really happening, which is, I mean, it's a scary position to be in.
That's crazy. And even whenever when Fred went to jail and, you know, the headquarters got blown up, you know what I'm saying? He helped with the renovation. He did all of that. You know, I guess the FBI was behind that. But it's just hard for me to believe that he would go through all of that if there wasn't a little bit of him that wasn't down for the cause. I think, I don't know.
Yeah.
You well, even after that, wasn't he still with the Black Panthers for like 20 years after that? I can't remember.
Oh yeah, they did say that he was still with them. So yeah,
it's just disgusting, bro. You gotta take that L, and you gotta do it. But listen, what he said, he was like, man. They asked him what you think about Malcolm and Martin and the fact that he was ahistorical, didn't know what was going on, allowed him to get played like a fiddle. It was the fact that he didn't know what was going on that allowed, and he wasn't connected to his culture. This can't happen if you connected to your culture. He asked him, okay, what do you think about this? And when he found out he didn't care, okay, now you can betray your whole people.
I'm glad you said that, because that was one thing that stuck out to me. I didn't want to forget it, is that self-preservation is dangerous. You know what I'm saying? As it relates to being a Black man. And if you're only going to be worried about, you know, your own goals and what you have in store for yourself and how you're going to move forward without thinking about your people, then ultimately a couple of things are going to happen. You're either going to be alone, you're going to die alone, you're going to, you know, or if you do make it and then you fall, nobody's going to be there to catch you. You know what I'm saying? So you got to have the mindset of, you know, what am I doing to like help people in the process of me growing too at the same time. And I think that's definitely one thing that stuck out to me with William O'Neal. He was just like, look, I'm trying to get mine. I'm trying to, you know, make sure that I'm not out here stuck without anything. You know what I'm saying? And that's, ultimately, that's what led to his demise and his fall. He ended up killing himself.
Yeah, man, I can't imagine the amount of guilt, you know, just being a double agent like that. I can't imagine how it would feel to be like that and betray your own people and have conversations with people daily, knowing that you're double crossing them. The military. Not the military, the police, man. Like, you know, these are real things that happen. So this is why we distrust the police. I don't trust the police, bro. I don't. These are real things that happen. Not only did this happened with all our people, not just Fred Hampton. This happened with Malcolm. Yep. Feds were involved. Martin Luther King, feds were involved. Medgar Evers. You know, suspected Sam Cooke, you know, they're all of our people who stood up for us, not only were subject to vitriol from white people, but also the police. And if we was taught this, maybe we can understand why we say Black Lives Matter. It all goes back to what we were saying in the beginning with the Utah shit. If you're ahistoric, it allows you to stand on some bullshit and not understand my reality.
Right. So who are the figures that we need to follow and look up to today? Who would y'all say?
In terms of what?
That they're equivalent to a Fred Hampton, to a Medgar Evers, to a Malcolm X, or a Martin Luther King.
Like as of right now?
Yeah. Who do y'all think we would need to
look up to right now? Who are like doing it right now?
Yeah, they're doing it right now that we can coalesce behind, that we can provide support to in a way.
People don't want to admit it, but people like Sean King, people like Killer Mike, like Stacey Adams, Stacey Abrams.
Stacey Abrams, yeah.
Stacey Adams, shoes.
The suits. My dad's suits.
Not the shoes, no.
Stacey Abrams, who out here, like, really out here making stuff happen, like, in the front lines. It's not that many, man. At least on the front lines, and that's the thing. We don't have a lot of big, visible Black leaders right now doing.
Maybe Roland Martin, maybe? You might throw him in the discussion.
Possibly.
Yeah.
But in terms of, like, activists, though, you know, who out here? I mean, there's very few out here. Gary Chambers, is that his name? Chalmers? He's about to run for Senate. There's not a lot, y'all. It's really not.
I would definitely say Killer Mike, definitely, man, because he knows how to speak to the people. He knows how to speak the language that's palatable, you know what I'm saying, that people can retain and take in if you're willing to listen to it. Because I know a lot of people would say that, you know, they feel like a lot of our leaders and stuff like that talk down to them, and they're not. They're just trying to educate us on things that we don't know. Also, Tamika Mallory, you know, My Son, it's a good one. Trying to think off the top of my head.
It's hard to think of it in present tense, but I'm trying to think of like people who are doing stuff. Maxia Waters. I'm trying to think of people who.
What's Kaepernick, name? Colin Kaepernick. I don't know why I'm forgetting about him. But.
Cap, I'm trying to think of the people who economic justice, though. That's what I'm trying to do. Not just like visibly, like the, not like representation. And that's the something that I think we need to be clear about is like the difference between reform and revolutionary. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like reform is putting Harriet Tubman on a $20 bill. Revolutionary is, you know, some a lot more than that. So I'm very prone to like knock any type of like bullshit reform that's not really doing anything. And if I'm gonna say follow somebody, they really gonna have to be making some stuff happen financially for us.
Yeah. What about the dangers of it too at the same time? You saw how dangerous it was and the result, you know, that happened with Fred Hampton. These days and time, it's a lot more dangerous because you got access to everything. You got access to data. You got 24/7 news. You got cell phone cameras on you all the time. You know, is it even possible to have a figure like a Fred Hampton or a Malcolm X or a Martin Luther King these days?
We got Farrakhan. Yeah, we got Farrakhan too. My bad.
Oh yeah, Farrakhan. Definitely Farrakhan. Farrakhan.
It's hard, man. It's gonna be tough.
Farrakhan got the protection though. He's able to get out there and boldly say and do whatever he wants because the nation is behind him in a different.
A lot of people don't have the protection.
You know why?
You can only be out here saying the truth if you got your money right. Because otherwise, Nick Cannon, anybody out here who ain't got their money right, when I say money right, I mean your money independent of these white folks, you ain't gonna be able to be out here and speak the truth.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how many people can say
Jay-Z, yeah, for everybody. Yeah.
I mean, Jay-Z, you don't think Jay-Z can go out here and lose a deal? Shit. Board of directors vote his ass out. Nah, he ain't like that. He ain't that free. He ain't that free. And he don't have to be because he's, at the end of the day, he's a musical artist. But if he got extra revolutionary, they find a way to get him up out of Spotify, out of Duce, out of whatever he's a owner.
Title, yeah.
They be like, we don't want to associate with, yeah, man.
Get him out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, well, you mentioned Sam Cooke. Did y'all see that the movie One Night in Miami?
Is it good?
Yeah, I just watched it. My dad put me on. I didn't even know it was out there. My dad's like, you got to watch this. It's pretty dope, man.
They said something about Sam Cooke was talking crazy to Malcolm X in the movie.
Yeah, man, they kind of got into it, man.
I watched. They was good friends.
Yeah, they were. It was about him. It was about Ali, Sam Cooke, Jim Brown, and I'm missing the fourth one.
Malcolm X.
Oh, Malcolm X. That's who it's mainly about. But yeah, it was pretty dope. It was on the night that Ali beat Sonny Liston.
I had to watch it, man.
Yeah, that's pretty good, man.
On Amazon Prime, right?
Yeah, it's on Amazon Prime.
I need to check it out, bro. I need to check that shit out. We need things to tell our story. For sure.
Shout out to Regina King too. I know she was the director of that too. I hope she, you know what I'm saying, come up big on that. Shout out to her. She's had a hell of a couple of years as far as content and putting stuff out. You know what I'm saying? Hey man, y'all got anything else y'all want to add, man, before we jump out of here?
I just want to say, everybody, like, do your due diligence and look up, not only look up Fred Hampton Black Panther Party, but look at what they were about and why. Don't just be like ass and look up things as a historical event. Understand the intentions and why they wanted to do that and try to find out how we can apply. Show your kids this. Talk about what power to the people mean. Anytime any of us have revolutionary or have been revolutionary, they are always steeped in pride and culture of Black people. There's no exception. There's none. Anytime you see somebody fighting for us, they have a deep love of who we are, where we have come from. So if you want, if you admire the movie and you admire the people, then you also can do your part by instilling that level of pride into your children, or just however you can with people who you know. That's something we can all do. Because I'm going to make sure Remy know about this stuff.
Yeah, that's dope. Same thing here, man. Same thing. I'm not going to shun them from the history. I'm going to show it to them. So. Well, that's what's up, man. Yo, it's been another episode of the Why Not Us podcast. I mean, y'all keep liking and subscribing. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Do me a favor. Share this video. Share the podcast if you're listening. And just tell one friend about us, man. We love y'all. Peace.
Peace out, y'all.